Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Jordan Heiber, Deputy Representative in MUFG's Washington, D.C. Representative Office. It's Wednesday, April 22nd, 2020. In a little more than 6 months, U.S. voters will choose a president, all 435 members of the House of Representatives, and one-third of the Senate. In this episode, we explore the DC Rep Office's assessment of how the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic is impacting the outlook for the elections this November. Jordan, we've spent some time on this podcast looking at the impact of the coronavirus on markets. In a bit of a twist today, I wanted to have you on to talk about the political side of things. Jumping right in, how has the onset of the coronavirus impacted the election landscape for this November? Clearly, it has to be shaking things up. Is that correct?
Yeah, John, and thank you for having me on today. This is definitely a topic we're getting asked a lot about in the DC Rep office. Before turning to my response, let me just say that my first thoughts are with those who are struggling with this pandemic right now. To your specific question, the short answer is that the current crisis is likely to have a major impact on the election, and I think we're starting to already see that now. Historically, presidential elections in which there's an incumbent running for re-election are seen as a referendum on the person already in office. So do you support the job the president is doing? And perhaps just as importantly, what's your view of the direction of the country? Is it positive? Is it negative? Also, historically, presidents have a very tough time getting reelected if the country is in a recession. So all of this is coming into play now in the current context of this virus. So looking to Trump specifically, he has always had relatively low but very stable approval numbers. And that hasn't changed despite the crisis. He's currently right in the middle, I'd say, of his 39 to 49% approval band, but it could change going forward. And in terms of the economy, this was a key strength for the president heading into 2020 prior to this pandemic. And this asset has really been wiped out in a very short period of time. Of course, voters may not blame Trump for the economic crisis, and I don't think that most will. This was triggered by a global health pandemic, after all. But they will judge his administration's response to the crisis. And that's what the election could now hinge on, and that's what's still unfolding right now.
Thank you, Jordan. The coronavirus has created a lot of political uncertainty. We also know that the outcome will have a major impact on U.S. policy and therefore markets. Could you briefly explain what investors should be paying attention to going forward? More specifically, what are the tea leaves you'll be focusing on?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot to pay attention to. And to be honest, it's continuing to evolve really on a daily basis. Looking at the election itself, I'd probably point to three things right now that we'll be looking at going forward. One, obviously, is how does the economy respond? Do we get a V-curve recession and a recovery? Do we get a check mark recovery? Do we get something that looks like something completely different? Two, as I mentioned before, what does the Trump administration do going forward? Does it portray steady leadership in this time of crisis, or is that how it's perceived by American voters? And if not, can it succeed in maybe deflecting some of the blame to China or to the Obama-Biden administration or to others, as we've seen Trump do some of in his press conferences on a daily basis? And the third thing is, how do individual states, especially swing states, plan for a possible return of the pandemic this fall in terms of making socially distant voting easier? So the politics matter in all of this, but so does the election process. Expanding on that third point just a little bit, conventional wisdom is that higher turnout benefits Democrats and therefore Biden, and that lower turnout benefits Republicans and therefore Trump. To that end, we've seen the president come out again at these press conferences repeatedly against expanding mail-in voting. And we also saw a recent legal battle about this in Wisconsin just a few weeks ago ahead of its primary. So we're likely to see a number of similar legal battles in swing states that will be won or lost by very, very close margins in the fall. And the outcome of those legal fights ahead of the election could be a key factor going forward. In terms of markets, I checked in with our MUFG colleagues in the Global Markets Division actually just earlier today, and a few top-level thoughts from them that I wanted to flag for you. The first is that the Trump versus Biden scenario is really the best one for the markets in terms of there being a less extreme difference in the candidates, especially compared to where it looked like we were headed early on with a possible Trump versus Sanders matchup. The second is that our colleagues expect financial markets to really be focused right now on the COVID-19 trajectory and whether there's progress in unwinding these economic lockdowns that are in place in the US and elsewhere around the world. And then third is that assuming that the crisis response is the focus now in Q2 and then going into Q3, it's only then really that the market attention will shift and focus more on how President Trump managed his response, where his approval numbers are at that point, and what the November outcome might be.
Thanks, Jordan. Lastly, with the election more than 6 months away, do you think it's possible to predict the outcome of the presidential race or the makeup of Congress? Or is it just too soon?
So the simplest answer, I think, is that it is still too soon, given all the uncertainty. And I would be very cautious, and I would advise you to be very cautious about trusting anybody who thinks they know how things are going to turn out, specifically 6 or more months from now. But I think there are a few things to highlight. I'd say that prior to the onset of this virus, the presidential election narrowly favored Trump. And that the Senate favored Republicans, probably by a little bit more, and that the House of Representatives was always strongly favored to stay Democratic in November 2020. So that's to say that if Trump won in 2020, the status quo would prevail. That's still, I think, the case if Trump wins. He'll end up with a Republican Senate, but still have Democratic opposition in a Democratic-controlled House. But what's changed is that with the deteriorating state of the US economy and with Democrats' choice in Biden as their candidate, a safer pick than Sanders, their chances of winning the White House and Senate, in addition to keeping the House, have somewhat improved. So the roadmap for Democrats has gotten bigger as the number of vulnerable Republicans has perhaps also gotten a little bit bigger, and as Trump is now more politically exposed by this crisis. So a Democratic sweep is at least more realistic than it was just a couple months ago. That said, I would just reemphasize what I said at the outset, which is that much of this is really going to depend on how voters view Trump's response and which candidate and which party they trust to lead us through this crisis. And I think we just don't know the answer to that yet. So just like the virus is currently, I think, in control of the economic narrative, it's also really in control of the political narrative right now.
Excellent analysis. Thanks for joining us, Jordan.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.